Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, folks. Kaiser from the Seneca Podcast here. This week, big news from SupChina and the Seneca Podcast Network. We are proud to be adding a new member to the family. Today, I'd like to introduce to you Middle Earth and its new host, Aladin Farah, a Parisian documentary filmmaker and editor. This show aims to provide insider's perspectives on China's cultural industry, the world's second largest. When discussing topics concerning China and the world, politics and economics have tended to take the lion's share of media coverage. Middle Earth hopes to reclaim some of that conversation and inform listeners about the arts in China and the industry behind them. We love this show, and we are sure you will too. So welcome aboard, Aladin, and on to the show.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Middle Earth, your source for insight into China cultural industry. I'm your host, Aladin Farah, and this show is a member of the Seneca Network from SubChina. Actually, if you want more news about China, current affair, technology, social issues, or business, you're invited to take a look at what the other podcasts are doing at subchina.com. China has only 55% of internet penetration, but almost every of its users are using a smartphone. Therefore, a lot of content, I mean video, news, silly application to make you look beautiful, are created every day. And just as of this month of recording, October 2019, ByteDance, the Chinese company owning news aggregator Toutiao and short video app Douyin, or TikTok, known in the West, is now the most valuable startup in the world. It is valued more than Uber or Baidu. So as I work on television projects most of the year, I wanted to talk to those who create article, funny video, and news on the Chinese internet. How do you make a living by creating online content? And how do they find followers? Is there a big competition? And as usual, at the end of the recording, we will ask a few questions to see who is the most knowledgeable among our guests. And those people are Erman. After many years in marketing, culture, data analyst, and publishing, you started, by accident, your Wang Hong career. So you are famous on the internet career, by sharing a few years ago on Weibo your frustration over the difficulties of dating. And the internet picked up on that. Since then, you write articles on WeChat about all kinds of relationships, identity issues, and pop culture. And the best part, you can pay your rent thanks to the writing. And you have around 200,000 followers on all those platforms.
Hello everyone, my name is Erman and thanks for having me here.
Ben Johnson, you come from Australia and you work for Mace Education. And in order to attract students for your class, I assume you're also giving class?
Yep, sometimes as well.
Sometimes as well. So when you're not giving class, you are also writing in Chinese with your colleagues, small sketches on Douyin or TikTok. The 3 million followers on all platforms can now learn English tips and now more about cultural difference. And last not least, Tang Yiqing, you founded 3 years ago the company and app Juzeyule, please don't laugh at my accent, that delivers article, video, and even a GIF section of a really young, beautiful men that I have no idea who they are. And all of this is focused for a 16, 25-year-old woman. And you have merely 30 million fans on every platform. And the reason, dear listeners, you might hear some background noise is because we are in the Yiqing office, which is really lovely, around the fifth ring of Beijing.
Thank you.
And this episode is the first of a two-part series on how internet is changing content creation in China. As you understood, we are today with content creators who are basically inventing their own job. And next month, we will go on the other side of the fence by talking with those working in advertisement. But first, let's get back to the creators. Well, so thank you all of you for coming. Obviously, all of you decided to go where the people, the Chinese people and the consumer are, internet. And I'm just wondering, all of you have been working on that for at least a year. Can you tell me How hard was it to wrench your current situation, to find fans, to find followers, to have people following you? Was it also hard? Maybe you had a lot of competition.
So I will start. Hi, everyone. My name is Arman. Actually, I don't think it's really hard for me because I didn't really want to do this career. It's not become very clear to me until I already have a lot of fans on internet. Because as Aladdin introduced me, about 3 years ago, I had a huge crush on a guy. But at that time, I'm in the States and he's in China. And so I cannot fulfill my desire for love. And so I write a lot of short articles online. And then that a lot of people read those articles and they feel for me. And so they're my first group of followers. And at that time, I didn't think of purely doing those online writing for career. I still do job huntings. I do some marketing works, publishing works, and even statistics, like as a data analyst. But after I keep publishing articles online, and I have more and more followers, and right now some advertisers, they find me, they reach me, and they say I can help them to sell their products online, and then they pay me. So after receive those business very time to time, and I found actually I can earn more from this job, from my actual job. And so I decided to probably I can do this professionally. I can focus more on this and I can write more and probably to build my own brand. So I quit my official job and to seriously doing this career.
The advertiser, when they contact you, do they want to so that you put a basic banner ads on your WeChat article, or do they ask you to write articles about some kind of product that you're going to shine a really good light on it?
I would split advertisement into two types. One is the very direct type, like the whole article is an advertisement. And the other type is like the soft advertisement. And basically you write about your own articles and then you put some information about products at the end of the article. So I usually do the second type.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of interesting the way I got into it as well. Just so I started doing this part time when I was actually working in tourism here in Beijing. And my friend basically told me about, hey, there's this person that's trying to use foreigners for advertising for this English teaching place. And they're doing it through Douyin. We were like, what the hell is Douyin? So we went on it. And then with a few videos, like we were just kind of copying some of the stuff that people were putting on. And then overnight, I had one video that went off on my personal account and I had millions of views overnight and we were like, what is this thing? And then we found out when we started doing videos with the actual company that there weren't many foreigners who speak fluent Mandarin actually on the platform as well. So there was like a massive niche and the guy who's now my boss, he saw this and was like, we're going to capitalize on this. And so we had a goal of getting to 1 million fans by September. And by September, we had already over 2 million just on Douyin. And then we're also on Kuaishou and Huoshan and all these other platforms. We've got up to 3 million when we thought we would only be at one. And there was one weekend where we got 140,000 fans in 12 hours because we had one video go off. And just seeing how that happens, it's kind of hard to comment to say if it's difficult or not because so much of it was so random, like things that we thought were great ideas. Some of them didn't take off. And then we'd do something really basic that we thought, oh, you know, we don't really find this funny. It just exploded because of how Douyin works and how they have the human element that pushes certain videos and it's not like a computer generated sequence like you have with YouTube or Reddit or things in the West. So for us, I'd say like there is competition out there, but if you like become a personality early on, like people will, it just goes off. So it can be, as you said, Oman, as well, like it's kind of easy sometimes to get really famous on Chinese social media.
For me, I worked for a traditional magazine before. I worked for Harper's Bazaar for several years, and I have traveled to LA to study new media industry in USC 4 years ago. And when I studied there, I I watched all kinds of new media influencer on YouTube, and the people doing very interesting videos on YouTube. So I want to start the same thing in China, because 4 years ago, no people do the same thing here. So when I traveled to my hometown, I found some investor. So 5 years ago, I have the first company by myself, but that one is belong to the very big group. After 1 year, I do my own startup. It's Juzi Yule. A lot of famous VC found me and gave me some investment. So I found smart guy. At first, they write the article on WeChat. Then the first year, we set up the apps to publish our articles. In the first year, we publish 100 articles every day. Yeah, I know it's huge. And second year, the short video is like very growing very fast, like Miaopai. I found some good guys to take short videos about interview the movie star and take the fashion shooting for the movie star. So the second year we do a lot of short video. Last year we find some fresh platform. We publish different videos on Douyin and Weishi, and we have different like Juzi Yule, Juzi Movie, Juzi Beauty, Juzi Function, different accounts on different platforms.
So as you're producing a lot of content now, I have two small questions. The first one is 4 years ago when you start going to see VC and you tell them, okay, we're going to do a startup about media. No one has ever done that, but please give us money. Are they really thinking you're going to make money in the future? Are they really trustful into this? And the second question is, you're doing a lot of content every day, but then how do you make money out of that?
In the first year, we don't have money. We don't earn money because VC give me a lot. I mean, because in my first company, we published very successful videos like Xinzuo Qitan, and my first WeChat account, very successful, earned 30 million renminbi for the advertisement. So, I mean, the first company is very successful, but belong to the trans group. So when the VC fund me, they give money to do the startup. Cause that year is very special timing for doing new thing. It's not the best time to earn money. I mean, my team, my group, we focused on doing the content. In the fourth year, we refused all the advertisement. Cause the first year, you know, yeah, so much thing to do. You should do the apps and write 100 article for 1 day. So all the people crazy, you know, at that time. We have to fund this office to think about what kind of article will be popular at that time. So we spend all the time for creative things, not earn money. Last year, we do the serious commercial thing. You know, I do a startup. I have to spend a lot of time to find the people, to find which kind of program would be popular and maybe earn money. So much thing to do. But last year, yeah, we the first year to do advertisement.
Actually, I have some questions for you. So first...
Yeah, please do my job.
Oh, sorry, I'll
do that. No, it's great. It's great. I like it.
Okay. Yeah, so first, you said in first 2 years, you refused old advertisement because you received a lot of money from VCs. And so you just want to create very interesting content. So I really want to know what types of content you create. And also, you said you need to publish 100 articles on different platforms every day, right? Because I know for WeChat, you can only probably publish 4 or 5 articles a day. Yeah. So 100 is a huge number. So how many platforms you're publishing your content on?
We have our own apps. It means we have own platform. So 100 articles about interview and some entertainment news and some beauty articles, some article about beauty makeup, about fashion, and about very special young people's story. So first, we publish articles on our apps, and then we have a team to publish the articles on different platform. The first platform is Jinri Toutiao. Another important platform is Tengxun. So people doing the different things on different platform.
So at the beginning, you just wanted to have a lot of fans.
Yeah.
And not bother with advertisement. And then a couple of years down the road, then you can start capitalize on all your fans and start putting advertisement.
Yeah. In the beginning, I mean, do a start of new media, I think the content is the most important thing, right? And the fans is the second thing. And then you can have a lot of advertisement. If I spend too much time to find the advertisement in the beginning, maybe the team don't have the time to think about the creative thing, you know, yeah.
This question, I guess, will just be for the two of you. As you start at the beginning, so you put free content online, a video, article, and you don't bring advertisement. But at the moment you start doing it, does some of your fans start complaining like, oh, come on, this is not the old way of you doing media. Like, we don't like your soft ads. We don't like seeing media ad banner. Do people start complaining and do you lose fans or... are they forgiving and they don't care and they understand you have to make a living?
We had this problem actually where, because we did a very similar thing to you where we were getting fans first, and then because all the people that were coming to us with advertising deals were saying, okay, we'll give you this much based on how many fans you have. So we're waiting till we got more and more and more, and then we could go back and say, hey, look, we have this many, give us this. And they'd say, okay. And then the first time we did an advertisement and we put it on Douyin, it was really blatant and I don't think we did it that well, but people, all the comments kind of slammed us a bit and we're like, oh, I thought this was good until I saw it was an advertisement. And they were kind of a bit like they felt tricked or something.
What was the advertisement?
It was for GoGo Kid. I don't want to even pull it up. It's so embarrassing. but we didn't lose any fans though. But we just got some nasty comments and stuff basically saying, oh, you're sellouts and things like that. But they were most people, I think, were pretty understanding.
Yeah, but you didn't lose fan. And then kept liking your next video. So I think just a few haters. Right?
Yeah, there's always going to be haters on the internet.
And I also faced the same situation. So when I start to receive the advertisement and to put out the introduction of the products, and so I also received some nasty comments. But actually, I think I will split my followers into two types. One type is really loyal fans, and they will just no matter what you post, they will keep liking it and keep commenting on that. And the other type is just a random fans. And those random fans, is my attitude to them is, if you come, okay, you're just welcome here. But if you would like to go, you would like to leave, it's your own business. And I really want to keep my loyal fans and to know about them, like what they like and what kind of content really they like about me. But for those random fans, I would just leave them alone. And also, right now, when I start to receive more and more advertisement, those loyalty fans, they're really nice. They're really sweet. They're like, oh, Armand, you're receiving more and more advertisement. It's congratulations. We're so happy for you. And please, you can be more famous. You will be more and more popular and you will be more and more expensive. And we're just so, so happy for you. Please keep doing that. And they even say, if only you receive advertisement and you can write more articles, well, that's just good.
For us, because we publish so many articles and videos every day, so advertisement for us is very normal. And because we are media, we are not self-media, so that's not a problem for us, because all my fans, they know it's the media thing and advertisement is very normal. So, but for us, we should put the advertisement, mix the content very softly, the same thing. Because, for example, we do the advertisement for making up branding. We put the things to the celebrate. We ask them to use it, to show it for the fans. It seems very soft. They use it, that kind of thing to show for the fans. The fans like this kind of way. So yeah, it's okay for us.
Was it hard? Because at the beginning you have lots of... your brand is on many platforms, and mm-hmm. then one day you go to make a full app where people suddenly they have to download the app. There's another app to download in your phone. Do you know what is the majority of the people? Where do they watch your content? Is it still on WeChat and Weibo? Or do you have lots of people downloading your app and are they using it? Do you think basically doing an app was a good strategical move?
Okay, it's first... if you do self media, don't do apps. It's very, very difficult. And I mean, for us, it's very necessary for, because 4 years ago, you know, I have to do a startup because a lot of people, the VC, want to see the growing. So that at that time, it's very necessary. But now it's the second year, we publish the short video on Weibo, on Miaopai. We don't really on the apps, our own apps, because we spend a lot of money on get the user for the apps. And sometimes I think some money waste. But at that time, yeah, it was necessary. But I mean, for the second year, third year, we publish all the content on social platform. And now we most of the advertisement published on social platform, not on our apps. But because we are media, we have to have my own apps.
Is it a face question?
Not face, it's like, for example, we have we do a lot of cooperation with movies, very big movies. They want to see the, how to say, the caping.
So when you open an app, yeah. And then there was an advertisement, yeah, like about 2 or 3 seconds.
Sometimes they want to like our different articles about one thing. The apps is important for our formal media, but I mean for self media, not necessary. And sometimes for the VC, yeah.
Yeah, to make them happy.
Yeah, because they think, you are media, right? You're not self media. That's sometimes different, yeah.
What you just said is a perfect transition for my next question, which was over the time when you were making content. Like you started doing something and then you realize, why did we wasted so much time doing this? And then you refocused on something maybe a little bit more specific.
Apps. Yeah, I think our team spent too much time on apps in the beginning. If that year we do more thing on WeChat, we'll be more successful. Yeah.
Actually, I think my attitude is a little bit ambivalent. So it's really about which way you're going to go. Because for like a self-media entrepreneur, you have different futures you can choose. One way is to go the business way, like Yi Qing is doing now. So basically...
Yeah, but she has 100 employees and you are working by yourself. So.
No, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Because I know a lot of self-media writers, and some of them, they decide just to keep writing, and some of them, they decide to, they don't want just the writing. They want to cooperate with the advertisement. They want to do more business things. So they want to focus on how to sell products. I know a girl, her name's Chu Weiwei. I don't know, you know about her, right? Chu Weiwei. And she is very, very young. She's like only 23 years old, but she also owns a company. Originally, she also write about her own articles, but then she figured out what she wants to do is not to express her own feelings, but to sell goods in a more efficient way. So she decided to make the WeChat platform more commercial and make it like just to tell people how to buy things. And you know, there are so many special days in China, and the companies, they will sell things, for example, like the Double Eleven, like, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're doing this stuff. And my other self-media friends, some of them, they want to just doing the personal brand. So they keep just working as their own. So I think the waste, like which way is like your waste of time, is really depends on which way you choose. Like if you choose to become a very like business model and you just keep expressing your own feelings, that's really a waste of time. You need to spend this time to, you know more advertisement and to do more cooperations. But if you focus on, okay, I want people to know me, I want to become a strong influencer, I want to become more and more famous, then probably you need to focus on content, like to do a very personal content and to make people remember you. So I think it really depends which way you choose.
You're not really answering my question. If you to come back to what you've done and your decision, do you think that there is a moment when you thought, I should have been more commercial, or I should have wrote more content, or maybe I should have hired someone to help me expand my brand? Or do you think so far so good?
So far so good.
Well, okay.
I think for us, we only really realized like how much time we were wasting when we saw how many views we were getting from our successful videos. So when we first started running the company, Douyin channel, it was like the aim was basically to use Douyin to put up English teaching videos, because we saw a couple of those on Douyin and they were getting a lot of hits. They were getting a lot of likes. So we started doing really basic things like I go to the movies and teaching people things like this. And one or two of them took off and we're like, okay. And then we looked at what was out there on Western social media, like from like Mama Huhu, you know them, and like some of the cultural difference videos they do. And we were like, well, come on, guys. Like, we experience this stuff every day in China. What's something really funny that we could put out? So we put a few of our ideas on there and they exploded. And then when we looked back on it after a month of doing cultural difference videos, we were like, what were we even doing in the beginning? Like, we're looking at like these English teaching videos and like how unprofessional it was that we were doing it, but they were still getting likes at the time. So we were like, oh, we're not wasting our time. But then when we saw what the potential was for it, like hindsight is 20/20 when you look back on it. But I think everything we're doing, it's all a learning experience when you go and see how people react in social media.
Hi.
Hello.
Money.
Money?
Change.
Oh, you want to change money?
Yeah.
How do you like the money?
我多喜欢钱? I like it very much.
What? 刚才说的, how do you like the money? 就是
That was one of Ben's Douyin video. I actually took this one because, first of all, it's funny because you have a cultural difference and an English class.
Yeah.
And it has also 51,000 likes. Some of your videos, the one thing that I realize on, and not just you, many Douyin people, you can have videos that have a few likes and other that just explode on the internet. So for you, it can range from around 3,000 to 100,000.
I think we have some that have over 10 million likes. Okay. Actually, yeah.
But then what's funny is that when we look at your channel, then you can have like the one video that has 10 million likes and the video after has just like a few thousand.
So it's based kind of on the content, but this is also the tricky thing with Douyin. So the way it's so different to media platforms in the West is that Chinese social media platforms can hire people so cheaply that they can have a human element that selects which videos get pushed and not. So this is the most difficult thing in Chinese social media, because whereas in the West, it's up to basically a computer that will do it. But in China, an actual person will look at it and go, this is funny, or they put their own opinion in on it. With a lot of our videos, the way we can explain the difference is we have some people that follow us just for the purpose of learning English. So when we put up an English teaching video, those people will watch it and they might go like, or they might like it just if it's funny or something. So what you can't, so what our users can't see is how many views each video gets, and that will determine how many likes it gets, but how many views it gets depends on the human element in doing and whether they push it or not.
Yeah.
And so this for us, sometimes we cannot explain it. It's so difficult to find out, like, if it's topical or something like that. Maybe the person who watches the video doesn't find it funny. We might have put in like a couple of hours into writing this script or something, and they just say, no. Or we say something that is, we've had a few videos that have gone off before, and then they've turned around and gone, oh, actually, we think that's inappropriate under the guidelines. And then they've taken it off, and we're like, oh, God.
For example?
Just really basic things. There was one where we didn't realize we weren't allowed to do it. And I think the person at Doing didn't realize at first either, but I was wearing like a school kid's outfit, and I had the Hongling Jing, the red scarf. And they came back to us and after the next day, and they were like, no, if you're an adult or a foreigner, you can't wear the Hongling Jing. And we're like, okay. And we've done others before where we've used money. And because there's the law in China, and we didn't mean to even do this at all. I had one on my personal account that got taken off about how you eat when you get paid. And so on the first day, it was like, yeah, like cooking money in a fry pan. And then the next day was just eating like the palmia and the instant noodles. But it got taken off because it has Mao Zedong on the money, and it was in a fry pan. So that was seen as offensive, and they took it down and they said, you violated the terms of use. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, you should have, I forgot the name of the company and the Japanese porn star, but the one Chinese company, I will put this in the show notes, but one Chinese company, they hired a Japanese porn star to make an event, and they made her wear the red scarf of the kids. And of course, that did not go well them.
That's really funny, though.
I think it's not just about politics, it's about business, because Douyin and Jinri Toutiao, the traffic, like Liuliang traffic in Douyin and Jinri Toutiao are controlled by the company, not by the people who on the platform. So it depends. Douyin push the content or not content. There are some things like how many comments maybe in a short time, or how many likes. It depends some. 算法.
It depends on how it's counted. Yeah, a big thing for us is how many people share the video.
Yeah.
Shares
yeah.
is one of the biggest yeah, things that yeah. is the difference between a successful and an unsuccessful video.
Yeah, the counting way of Douyin is very special. Sometimes our content maybe is very popular star grow very fast in 1 minute, but sometimes if Douyin don't push it,
yeah,
very different.
I think not only Douyin is doing this, Douyin, Toutiao, and Bilibili, like all these yeah. video platforms, they're doing the same things. And so basically, if you produce the video content, that's kind of different from the WeChat and Weibo platforms, because it's really based on what the editors like. Then they will have the editor's pick, and they will push. Like, so that kind of is really random.
Mm.
Yeah.
Also, because you do see sometimes, if you watch Douyin quite a lot and you follow some people, sometimes you will see a video come up every now and then. You're like, wow, this is really inappropriate. Or it's like there'll be swearing, or there'll be something to do with that's against the restrictions, like sex or drugs or something like that in it. And you'll be like, how is this on here? And you're like, oh, okay, so the people at Douyin haven't obviously seen this yet. And then if you look at it in 5 minutes, it'll be shut down. But I have seen some videos and I still like them. And the songs they use, it's clear that the people in Douyin, because the people in these videos have been speaking in English or Russian or something, but they're still saying really bad things. But because they can't understand it, they don't cancel the content. So some of these things are really funny. I've seen kids, like small children, dancing in videos to certain songs that are really, really inappropriate for children to dance to. like mentioning certain things. And while it is funny, it's interesting how the censor at Douyin doesn't pick up on some of these things. And it just makes it even more confusing about how to get videos out there sometimes, or what is allowed and not allowed, because you just don't know who's going to look at the video or have the decision to push it.
Now to talk about something, just the dirty tricks. Like, did any of you boat followers, use the Wumao army, the water army, to put comments? Or do you think that sometimes you've been attacked by people to put bad comments on you?
No, I don't think so, because it's very easy to differentiate those like water comment, because those water comment, they just copy paste the same things again and again. And so if you really, really buy those things, and that will make your own page really, really nasty. Because even they say good things, they will just copy and paste the same good things. And that's really just not look good.
And none of you felt the need of buying followers?
No, not yet.
If the advertisement need more people to watch the commercial videos, we can buy the 粉丝通 on Weibo. It's very...
What's that?
粉丝通 is a commercial thing on Weibo. It helps to reach more people for the...
So the reach.
Okay, so on Weibo, you can promote your video so that more people can watch it.
Yeah,
it's very cheap as well.
Yeah.
You can set the amount of people that you want it to reach, and they guarantee that within 24 hours or 12 hours. Was that so? If you pay, I think if you want like say 2,000 views on a video, it's maybe like 15 renminbi, and within 12 hours, you have guaranteed that many people look at it.
Yeah,
they don't necessarily engage with it, but they see it.
Yeah, so for my own content, I never do that. But if I do an advertisement, and those people like the PR, they will pay for the Weibo, and they will like buy, and to make sure a lot of people they can watch it, they can watch the content.
So you don't even need to buy followers. All you need to do is have a budget so that your advertisement will reach more people.
Yeah.
Yes. Douyin need the same thing, I think.
And it's the same on Western social media as well. So on Facebook, if you ever put ads on there, you can actually do targeted advertising based on demographics. And so you select an age range or where people are living in the world, and they'll just push it out there. And then when you get the banners on the side, and on Chinese social media, it's the exact same. They'll do it based on the details that you've put into your account, whether you're male or female, or your age or... Yeah,
and yet at the same time on Facebook, we have many pages with fake followers.
Yeah, but it's because like there's like an algorithm and stuff in there. If you are getting a lot of fake followers, especially I know on Western social media accounts, when they can go through and every now and then they find out the people that are putting out these fake followers, and they will cull all the fake followers. And so you could go from having 100,000 followers to 20,000 overnight if you found out that everyone is a robot. And Chinese social media, it's a bit harder to do this because I've had so many people try and do it in the past that if you do it, then you get punished for having fake followers and stuff, especially on things like Douyin.
Who tried to have fake followers on social media? Chinese social media. I'm not asking your name, but it's like companies or...
I've had them approach me on Douyin. They send me messages and they'll be like, hey, do you want to get 50,000 extra fans? And you're like, I have no idea who this person is. And they said, if you just pay them an amount, you'll get that many people that follow you. And I don't know exactly how it works. I didn't use it.
But you think it's risky?
Yeah.
Why? Because then you will get blocked for having zombie fan?
Well, because I think every now and then the Douyin people will find the zombie fan accounts and they'll just get rid of them. And I think it happened a while ago to someone I know where they had fake followers. Like it happens on Instagram as well, where they basically, the algorithm like went, okay, this person's not active, or they follow how the bot or the robot works inside the app, and then they can find it and then basically do a mass deletion and you lose... And that would look actually quite bad on your account if you went and dropped a quarter of your fans at one time.
Because I basically use Weibo, and even there is no punishment policy on fake fans. But still, if you look into a profile and they have, say, a million fans, but basically if you look at the comment and the number of the comment, the repost and the likes is really low, and you will know that the fans are just a fake.
Yep.
I think the people who sit here today, they all can create the very good content. So for the content, it's a very free way to get the fans. I mean, no need to
buy. Yeah, if you have good content, you don't need to fake it. Yeah,
content is the most powerful thing, I mean.
I was just thinking that maybe if one day you go to see a VC, or if one day you need to advertise, or you need to convince a PR agency or an advertiser to invest in your channel, then they would ask you to have at least 1 million followers on Weibo, something like that. But if that's not the case, well, then good for you. what you just said, Yiqing, about the make good content, that's actually my last question. Usually there is always this question of, what if people want to do the same thing as you do? What advice would you tell them? Well, I'm just asking this question for me because I am this humble podcaster. I'm trying to do good content. And what would be the advice that you would give me, and optionally to the audience, about how to reach a more audience? Or maybe the thing not to do on online content?
I think... Well, a big thing in China, as like a foreigner, like on one of these accounts, one thing that we really have to take into account when we're especially doing cultural difference videos, for example, is how are people going to react to this? Are they going to find it as funny as we do? Are people going to find it offensive? Because something that we might find funny, or someone in our company who might find it funny, there might be 800,000 people out there that will absolutely hate the video, and we'll get absolutely slammed, or, you know, we'll end up in some kind of article on the internet somewhere with a horde of people trying to hunt us down because we said something that was slightly offensive to China, even though we didn't mean it at all. Because one of our things, because we are foreigners, we will often make fun of our home country, but we cannot make fun of China in any way. Because we might make fun of like certain little things that Chinese people do, but if it's seen as offensive in China, even if the video is appropriate for the platform, that basically destroys your social media career. And it can happen overnight. They'll be like, oh, this person said this regarding China and Japan or something. Or even I have one video where I talk about because people often ask me, like, which language do you think is more difficult, Chinese or Japanese? And because I studied Japanese for 14 years, I said, oh, I think Japanese is more difficult. And I didn't even think, like, is this even a good thing to have your language more difficult? Like, it doesn't... I was like, I'm basing this on the grammar. Like, yes, Chinese characters are definitely harder, but the comments that came back from it were really like, how dare you say this? And I was like, I don't even understand where this mindset is. And quite a few people were really unhappy that I said it. And
I had arguments about whether if English or Chinese was the most difficult language.
I hate this question so much. That's basically, you need to really judge how people are going to react. And so you need to make it sometimes so neutral in a way that it actually really takes the kind of punchline of the joke away sometimes.
So my advice would be, a lot of people, if they want to do some media or self-media, the first thing they do, they usually just focus on the market. They will say, okay, what market likes, what market dislikes. But I say, don't focus on market in rush, but focus on yourself. What's your personality, and what you can bring, because actually right now the Chinese market is really huge. So the mass audience is just is fictional; it doesn't exist. But the true things is everyone can have your own niche market. Even the niche market is just for example, like the 1% of the whole Chinese population is still huge. The number is still huge. So if you really want to stand out on the internet, you really need to be yourself. You don't even to be like very edgy or very different. You can just be yourself, and you can just have a DV, have a video about your daily life, and people would like to watch it. So before you think about market, think about yourself.
My advice is telling a story in funny way, but the information should be useful. I mean, like your video is like you tell a story in a very funny way, but the information, not just talking joke, it's very useful for people. We use this principle in all our content, not article, short video, or other program. We all use this principle in all the content.
Well, thank you for all those advice. I hope that then I will be have a million followers on Weibo that I didn't bought in the next year. Okay, now we move on to the really last part of the show, my favorite. First question. Per day, how many hours do Chinese adults spend on the internet?
Ben? Six?
No.
Yiqing? Ten?
Not ten, per day, not per week.
Yeah, ten. For us, yeah.
No, okay, let's say for... I would say for personal consumption, not for your work, of course.
Erman, five.
Ben, two?
Okay, well, that was really embarrassing. I can see that none of you are doing really good research. Okay, in 2018, Chinese adults will spend 2 hours and 39 minutes a day on average on their mobile device or on the internet. Sorry?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
That's my commute, right?
Yeah, I think people lie.
Well, I don't know. That's CNBC who said it, so maybe they're wrong. And 2 hours and 32 minutes watching TV. Okay, second question. Who has the biggest account on Weibo?
Yiqing, Xie Na.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So Xie Na, the queen of Weibo, she's born in 81, and like many Chinese stars, she does a bit of everything. She's a singer, an actress, a book author, a TV show host, and an actress. And she became famous after hosting the show Happy Camp on one of the most viewed show on TV. Last question. Which app could be now called the Chinese zombie social media?
Ben, Douyin.
No, I mean, which Chinese app is such a total loser? It's like the MySpace of China.
Yiqing, MSN.
Erman, QQ.
Okay, well, none of you got this right. For me, then maybe you will tell me I'm wrong, but for me it's RenRen.
Oh, you're right.
Damn it, guys. So I'm right, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, and all of you, yeah, you're like too far away from such a diaose. I just want to add the last question. That was the Thai question, just in case. In the West, we talk about rage comics. You know, this is some kind of meme, like some kind of daily life situation where people are complaining about their life. What would be in Chinese the name of the Chinese version?
Erman, Baozou Manhua.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Well, I think that's kind of a tie break for everyone. You all of you got a point. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And on those good words, we're going to wrap up this show. So thank all of you for coming. And thank you, dear listeners, for sticking until the end credits. This show was produced and written by Aladdin.
Co-produced by Kaiser.
Music by Sean.
Designed by Brendan.
A big thanks to May and Zoe who helped us find today's guest. All the reference that we talked about will be posted on the description of the podcast. In order to receive all latest news, you can look for us on your favorite social media platform at Middle Earth Podcast. You can also subscribe on this show on iTunes, Himalaya, or Teachers. Don't hesitate to recommend, like, critique, or share this episode as we love to get something back, good or bad. Middle Earth is an HPV production. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.